Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you will find 6 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Ches. Mi shebo baderech velo hoya biyodoy lulav litoil, a person who was traveling and he didn't have a lulav in order to take and be yotze and fulfill the mitzvah. The kshikones lebeso yito al shulchano. As soon as he enters his house, he shall take it. Now we read the Rashi yito al shulchano im shochach v'lo notal kodem achila. If he forgot and did not take the lulav to be yotze the mitzvah before his meal, tzorch lahafsik sudoso v'lito lulav. He has to stop his meal and do the mitzvah immediately. We continue in the Mishnah, Lo Notal Shachris, Itol Bein Harbayim. If he didn't take the lulav, if he, Notal has to do, when we say take the lulav, it means taking it to pick it up and shake it and make the broch over it, which involves doing the mitzvah. So Netila Sulav is the mitzvah of lulav. So if he didn't take the mitzvah, if he didn't do the mitzvah in the morning, Itol Bein Harbayim, then he can take later in the afternoon, Shekol HaYoyim Kosher Lulav. The whole day is suitable for being yotze the lulav. Lulav is a daytime mitzvah, so if you didn't do it in the morning, so you can do it in the afternoon. The topic heading that we assign to this section of Gemara, the nosei that you see on the side, lo nota lulav baboker, if he didn't take the lulav in the morning, ha'im tzorch lahafsik sudoso kdei litlo, does he have to stop his meal in order to take it and yotze the mitzvah? So, in reading the Mishnah, many of you may have already sensed there's a certain level of inconsistency. At the beginning of the Mishnah, we learn there's a certain sense of urgency in doing the mitzvah. As we saw, you have to even stop your meal if you didn't take it in the morning. Stop your meal in the noon meal, afternoon meal, and take it. In the Seifa, the end of the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah, it seems that we're at ease about this matter. If you didn't take it in the morning, so do it in the afternoon. The whole day is suitable. The Gemara picks up on this point. Amris, note lo al shulchano. The beginning of the Mishnah indicates you take it, and al shulchano means even if it involves stopping the meal that you may have started. Lememra de mafsik. This suggests that you have to stop. Mafsik is stop, pause, stop the meal, and first do the mitzvah of lulav. Viromini. Now, we raise a contradiction. The contradiction at this first stage of the Gemara is actually from a different topic. It has to do with the Mincha prayer, the Mincha davening, the afternoon prayer service. And the source says, Im hischilu, if they started their meal, Ein mafsikin, you don't have to stop the meal in order to daven the Mincha davening. So in the Reish, the quote from our Mishnah indicates, you've got to stop your meal in order to do the mitzvah. This source indicates you don't have to stop your meal in order to do the mitzvah. Before we go any further in the Gemara, though, we must pay attention to the structure of this sugya. And in order to do this, we have a note in both margins, and there's a starred note, and you can see we've written there Shalosh Nisyonos Limtso Hasheila. We're going to go through 3 stages, and that's what these diamonds will represent. And we're going to go over this point when we look at our Mivneh note in a moment. But right now we see there are 3 Nisyonos, 3 attempts Limtso Hasheila to find the question She'oleha Anu Zukukim L'Tshuvas Rav Safra, concerning which Rav Safra gives an answer. In other words, the format of this Gemara is kind of unusual. We have an answer, and the role of this Gemara is to find the question to which Rav Safra provides an answer. I hope that was clear, and if it's not, don't worry, it will hopefully become clear as we go through the Gemara itself. But before we do that, what about all the markings? We've got diamonds, triangles, and we have a note on them in the other margin, the Mivneh. The diamonds represent kushios, or stiros, seeming contradictions in halacha. We started the first one already. We saw our Mishnah indicates you need to stop a meal in order to do the mitzvah. The source that the Gemara opened up with, the contradictory source, was you don't have to stop your meal in order to do the mitzvah of, in that case, davening. The triangle represents Shuvas Rav Safra. Rav Safra provides an answer. And his answer is, Yesh Lechalek. There is room for making a distinction. What's the distinction? Rav Safra says it all depends. Is there time left in the day for doing the mitzvah, or is it the end of the day and there is no time left? So if you have time left in the day, then the sense of urgency diminishes. If, however, there is no time left in the day, so the urgency to fulfill the mitzvah takes over, and you must stop and do the mitzvah. So Rav Safra makes a distinction between there is time in the day left or not. When we see in the course of this Gemara a double underline marking, that will highlight the expression "my kushya." The expression "my kushya" translated literally means "what's the problem?" HaGemara, we've written here, HaGemara doicha hakushya meikora. The Gemara, at each stage, when you see the double underline, it will be rejecting the very question. It will be rejecting the problem at its root. The oz, matras HaGemara, limtsoi, eze kushya bo Rav Safra letaretz im hachiluk dili'el. If we eliminate the question at its root, then the issue is, what is Rav Safra with his chiluk, with his distinction between yes, time left, no time left, what is Rav Safra coming to answer? In other words, as we said earlier, we have an answer. Well, we've got to find the question that he's coming to answer. A kind of unique Gemara structure. So in the meantime, the Gemara at the first diamond that we saw raises a question. In our Mishnah, we saw that there is a sense of urgency. Stop the meal and do the mitzvah. This diamond source, im hischilu ein mafsikin, you don't have to, if you started the meal, if they started the meal, they don't have to stop in order to daven mincha. Amar Rav Safra, we continue reading in the Gemara, the first triangle. Lo kashya, there's no problem. Hadiko sheyus bayom, hadaleko sheyus bayom. It all depends. If there is time left in the day, that's ikoshes, then ein mafsikin. There's no need to stop the meal. You've got time after the meal to do the mitzvah. And in this case, it would be you have time left to daven mincha after the meal. Technically, you shouldn't start a meal when mincha is in the afternoon before you daven mincha, but if you did start the meal, you don't have to stop, provided there's enough time left in the day afterwards. The Mishnah that dealt with the lulav, where it said, Nitol al shulchano, take it in the middle of your meal, stop your meal to do the mitzvah, because it's deleko, sheyesbeyom, there isn't time left in the day to do the mitzvah. Omar Rava. Now Rava enters the picture, and he says, my kushya, what is the problem in the first place? In other words, when we marked a diamond two lines up, he says there's no question in the first place. Dilma hodoi raisa hodorabanan. The chiluk between a mincha and lulav is very simple. Lulav is a mitzvah do raisa, is a Torah level mitzvah. And as such, you've got to stop. It has a higher level of importance assigned to a mitzvah that's do raisa. So we say if you started your meal, you've got to stop it in order to do the lulav. Mincha, davening, is the idea of davening three times a day, that is rabbinic. It might be argued that there is a Torah need to daven, there might be a doraisa chiyuv of davening, but the davening three times a day, that arguably is the rabbanon. So since it's rabbinic in nature, it's not obligatory upon one to stop the meal in order to do a rabbinic mitzvah. Elo Omar Rava. I kashya ho kashya. Rava says, if there is any question to raise, the following is what there is to raise. And here you will see what we mentioned earlier, that the Mishnah itself, between the Reisha and the Seifa, seems to pose a contradiction. The Reisha said, L'chshonis abeso not lo al shuchono. Upon entering your house, if you started a meal, as we saw in Rashi, when we were learning the Mishnah, you've got to stop your meal and do the mitzvah of lulav. Alma de mafsik, that shows you that you have to pause. You have to stop the meal, pause, in order to do the mitzvah. V'hodar toni, and then, regarding lulav itself, it said, lo not al shachris, yitol ben arbaim. If you didn't take it in the morning, take it later in the afternoon. Alma lo mafsik. So here you see that you don't have to stop the meal. If you didn't take it early in the morning and you started a meal, go ahead, continue the meal. You have the afternoon in which to take it. So no stopping of meal. Amar Rav Safra, lo kashya. So Rav Safra says, regarding our Mishnah, the Reisha versus the Seifa, there's no contradiction. Ha de'iko sheus bayom, ha de'leko sheus bayom. In the Reisha, where it seemed there was a sense of urgency, it's because there wasn't time left in the day if you were going to wait till the end of the meal. And in the Seifa, where it seemed that there was no sense of urgency, that's because there was iko sheus bayom. So let's go over this again. If there's sheus bayom, if there's time left in the day, so that's the seifa of the Mishnah. And the reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, which presented a sense of urgency, is because that was the leko sheus bayom. There wasn't time left in the day. So the Mishnah, as far as hours of the day, or chronologically speaking, is in a reverse order. That, namely, the Reisha, which gave us a sense of urgency, because that the Reisha, the beginning of Mishnah, corresponds to the end of the day. The end of the Mishnah corresponds to the beginning of the day. Omar Rabbi Zera. Now Rabbi Zera does here what Rava did in stage two. What he did after that is, after stage one, Rava said there was no question to begin with. Rabbi Zera does the same thing here. He says, "My kusha, what's the problem in the first place?" Dilma, maybe the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is as follows. Mitzvah lafsuke. That's what the Reisha represents, that it's a mitzvah. Its first choice is to stop the meal. The e lo posik, and if you didn't stop the meal, itobeinu abayim, then take it later in the afternoon. Shekol hayom koshe lelulav. The whole day is available for the lulav. So that as far as Rabbi Zera is concerned, the Mishnah is entirely speaking about morning hours. So you're in the morning hours, you started a meal, maybe it's breakfast, brunch, you started a morning meal. Truth of the matter is, you should have taken it. First choice is, if you didn't take it early in the morning and you started a morning meal, stop the meal. And if you don't stop the meal, so the Seifa says, still you take it later in the afternoon, the whole day is available for the lulav. Elo Omar Rabbi Zera. Now, Rabbi Zera, after having said that Rava's presentation of the question is really no question, so Rabbi Zera presents us with stage three, which really is a throwback to stage one. So, Elo Omar Rabbi Zera, Li'olom Kidamrinon Me'ikora. Rather, we go back to the Lulav Mincha issue. And if you'll ask, well, there's no problem to begin with because the issue of the lulav and the sense of urgency the Mishnah communicates is because it is Doraisa and Mincha is only Darabonan, and hence you thought there was no question to begin with that would require Rabbi Zera's answer. Not so. Hacha beyom tov sheni derabonan askinan. Our Mishnah, which speaks about the lulav, is not talking about lulav on the first day. The first day of Sukkot, lulav, in fact, is doraisa. So you could have said, well, there's no question one's doraisa rabbonim. However, we're not talking about the first day of Sukkot. We're talking about the second day of Sukkot onwards, where the mitzvah of lulav is purely rabbinic, just like mincha. So they're both rabbinic. If they're both rabbinic, so why in the case of lulav do you have to stop the meal that you may have started, and in the case of mincha you don't have to stop the meal? So to this, we answer Rabbi Zera's answer of In the case of the mincha, where we said you don't have to stop because there's time left in the day afterwards, and in the case of the lulav, which is also durabon, because you're talking about yontav sheni onwards, it's a case where the sense of urgency is a result of there not being time left in the day, like Rav Safra said. Daika nami, and by careful reading, daika, by diyuk, by careful, precise reading of the Mishnah, you can see that this is the explanation, namely that our Mishnah is on a rabbinic level. Midiktoni, the case of the Mishnah was Misha ba baderech v'en biyado lulav. Someone who was traveling, he came home from a trip, and he didn't have a lulav on his trip. And now is his first chance for taking it. If you were to think that the Mishnah was describing someone on the first day of Sukkot when it's Doraisa, me shori, would it be mutter to be on the road? A yontif, like Shabbos, is a day that one is not allowed to take trips. There's a din called Tchum Shabbos, which applies to yontif as well. People aren't traveling. Tchum is a boundary, a restriction that one cannot travel more than, let us say, 1 kilometer outside of his city. So the Mishnah describes, though, someone who is on a trip, which obviously more than a single kilometer. Hence, the Mishnah must be talking about Yom Tov Sheni, like the Gemara explained, like Rabbi Zeira explained at stage 3. Now we go into a totally new topic. This has to do with the recitation of Hallel, and someone who is saying the Hallel for you. Our Mishnah: Mi shahoya eved o isha o koton makrin oisoi. Someone who apparently is not learned, and he doesn't know how to read the Hallel text. So he has either a slave or a woman, his wife, or a child reading the Hallel for him. What is expected of the listener? Oine achre ma shehein omrim. He has to respond word for word that which they are reciting. V'tovoi loy me'era, and a curse should be upon him for not having learned. You can see from the Mishnah and the harsh language how it's expected of every Jew to learn. I might as well say to learn at least how to read the original text, to read the Hebrew, to read the prayers in the original text. Im hoya godol makri oisoi, if an adult were reading for the person, so then oine acharov haluluko, a person responds with that. You might be familiar with a person who listens to a bracha being made. One, after hearing a bracha, can actually get bracha credit by answering, by responding with the expression of the word amen. This is a similar idea with regard to Hallel recitation. For someone who is listening to the Hallel being read, and for whatever reason, he doesn't want to read himself. But here it's sufficient to say that this section is not dealing with someone that did not learn. He has learned, but he opted to listen to someone else reading and be yotze with someone else's reading. So that's fine. But he must answer the halalukah, that word, after every phrase or every sentence, every posuk that he is listening to. Mokhaim shenoagu lichpoil yichpoil lifshoit yifshoit. In the Hallel, there are, and this is true in the latter section of the Hallel, there, and Rashi goes through the details, pointing out that certain portion of the Hallel is characterized by repetitive phrases and repetitive psukim, and Rashi goes through the examples. However, from the pasuk Oyducha onwards, there the psukim in the original text are not doubled. However, if you are in a location, a place where the minig is to double them, in other words, to say the pasuk twice, Oyducha ki ani soni vativi lishua, and you say that again, Oyducha ki ani soni vativi lishua, Evan Moasa Aboin Moisor Shpino, Evan Moasa Aboin Moisor Shpino, etc. In fact, for those of you who are familiar with how that is our practice today. But this is not part of the original text that was compiled by David HaMelech in the Book of Psalms and Sefer Tehillim, which is the source of the Hallel prayer. The Mishnah tells us that this issue of doubling those psukim is dependent on the minhag, on the custom. So if the custom is to double them, so we double them, and if the custom is not, so they remain as they are in the singular original fashion. Another point that's dependent on minhag, levorech, yevorech, if the minhag is to say a bracha, then say the bracha. And if it's not to say a bracha, so the bracha is not recited. We will discover later that this which bracha this is referring to. Hakol kaminig hamedina. Everything is dependent on the accepted practice of that region, the medina, that area, region. Tanu rabbanan be'emes amru. The term be'emes, Rashi points out, is halacha, and no one argues with it. So this is unanimously accepted halacha. What is that? Ben mevorech le'oviv, ve'eved mevorech le'rabo, ve'isha mevoreches le'balo. A son can make a bracha, and his father can fulfill it. Rashi explains, ben mevorech le'oviv birchas hamazon, a son can recite the birchas hamazon for his father, v'shigi lechinuch, the chayev midrabbanan. When the child reaches educable age, he's of the age that he understands what he's doing, even though he's still a minor, where he has a rabbinic obligation. The Maseches Brachos Perek Mishameisim Mokim Law, the Gemara Brachos establishes this halacha of a minor reciting the Birchas Hamazon for his father, where the father ate a small amount of bread, an olive quantity or an egg quantity, where that is mechayev him, it obligates him only on a rabbinic level to begin with. The Midraisul Mechaiva de Sovea, from a Torah standpoint, Birchas Hamazon is not obligatory until a person is sated. The Pasuk indicates eating and then satiety, the Savata, and then Barachta, then you make the Bracha. And therefore, this possibility exists of a rabbinic, the child who is rabbinic, Umapik, the father, Umapik means he enables the father to be Yotzei, to fulfill the mitzvah Birchas Hamazon, who himself is only rabbinic because of the small quantity that he ate. So the example so far, we see a son saying the bracha for his father, a servant saying the bracha for his master, v'isha mevoreches labailo, and a woman making a bracha for her husband, aval omru chachomim. Even though all of this is a means of fulfilling the mitzvah, the chum nevertheless say, the chum or the sages nevertheless say, tovoy me'eiro la'odom she'ishto vonov mevorchen lo. Me'eiro is a curse. A curse be upon a person who needs his wife or his sons, his minor children, to bless for him. And as Rashi says, this is definitely a function of his not having troubled himself to learn. Omar Rava. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. There's a long point that is going to be made now, and notice the length of this with our marking. Hilchasa Gevirta Ika Lamashma Miminhoga Dahalela. Hilchasa Gevirta means large halachas or great halachas. There is to derive, to figure miminhoga, from the minig, from the custom that is practiced now in shul, in the synagogue, with regard to the Hallel recitation. So in this Gemara, you can see there are a number of markings with diamonds and double underlines on the side under our Nosei. Nosei is the topic heading Mivneh, the structural note, where we combine them into one note. We've written Dinim Hamerumozim B'minhogei Amiras Halel. Different halachas that are alluded to in the practice that we have in the recitation of Halel. Now we mention the practice that we have. When we say we have, it means in the time of the Gemara, there was a certain practice in the recitation of Hallel, the vestiges of which we in fact have to this very day. But the Gemara nevertheless makes reference to a practice that was done in the time of the Gemara, in which there is a reflection or a hint to halachas that exist on the books. Halachas that, if needed to be activated, could be activated. And we, through our practice in the shul, we make reference, we make an allusion to those laws. In order to fully understand this Gemara, it will be necessary for us to learn the Rashi text inside. So beware ahead of time that the Rashi text is quite detailed and it's long. You can see we have markings in the Rashi itself which parallel some of the markings of the Gemara. The diamonds in the Rashi are parallel to the diamonds in the Gemara. So what we will do is we're going to read the Gemara without much explanation, and then go to the Rashi who will fill in all of the details. So, the Gemara itself. Again, caution, we're not going to be explaining much by way of the Gemara text. We're going to leave that to the Rashi in his explanation. So we continue now on the second line from the top. Hu Omer Haleluka, the Chazan, the leader, he says, he opens up the Hallel with the word Hallelujah after a bracha is made. So the first word that's said in the house, Hallelujah. Vehein Omrim Achar, and then the Tzibor, before the Shliach Tzibor, before the cantor or the Chazan continues reading the Hallel, he says, as we mentioned, the first word, and then the Tzibor says the same word, Hallelujah. Mikan shemitzvah lano is haluluka. This is a remez to the halacha. This is a hint, an allusion to the halacha that we mentioned on Omid Aleph in the Gemara, that if someone is not learned and the halal is being read to him, so he has to answer the word haluluka. He has to answer word for word that which is being said. Hu Omer Halalu Avdei Hashem, the Chazan, the cantor, he says that phrase, Behein Omrim Haleluka, and after hearing Halalu Avdei Hashem, they answer Haleluka. Mikan, from here we see, Shem Hoya Godo Makre Oso, if an adult was reading for the individual, and this is a different case than a child or a wife reading for him, but rather, you have two adults, one of whom decides not to say it, but rather to listen to the other one's reading. So upon every phrase that's recited, so the listener says Haleluka. Hu Omer Hodu Lashem, Vehein Omrim Hodu Lashem. The cantor says Hodu Lashem, and the congregation responds, Mikan, from here we see Shemitzvah Lanois Rosh Prokim, that there is a mitzvah in reciting to repeat the beginning of the paragraph. Again, we'll have to wait for Rashi to explain this in greater detail. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Chonon Bar Rova, mitzvah lanois roshei prokim. There's a mitzvah in reciting the opening phrase of each paragraph. Hu Omer Ono Hashem Hoshiyana, Vehein Omrim Ono Hashem Hoshiyana. Here we have what we alluded to earlier, the cantor says the Pasuk on Hashem Oshina, and the congregation responds with the same words. What does this show us? Mikan Shim Hoyo Koton Makro So Onin Achrov Mashumer. We mistakenly explained the first of the diamonds with this point, but we'll hopefully cover our tracks when we go through the Rashi. Here is what we mentioned before, is that if someone is a minor or a woman is reading for you the Hallel, you have to answer word for word what they said. Just like we see in this example, the cantor says, Ono Hashem Oshina, and everyone responds with the same words. That is a hint to the halacha of Koton Makre Oisoi. Another halacha. Hu omer ono Hashem atzlichono, vein omrim ono Hashem atzlichono. The cantor says those words and they respond the same way. Mikan shim bo lichpol koifel. This hints to the idea of doubling. If you want to double the end psukim of the Hallel, you can do that. Hu omer baruch haba, vein omrim b'shem Hashem. The cantor would say just the words baruch haba. They would be listening to that, and they wouldn't repeat those words. They would say B'Shem Hashem. Mikan, this shows us the Shoimei Koine. One who listens is as if they recited it themselves. And that you can see here in this example, they listened to the cantor saying Baruch HaBa. They didn't say those words, but they heard him say it. So their listening is Koine, as if they are reciting it. And they say the next words, just B'Shem Hashem. Now, as we said, in order to appreciate what we've just learned, it's necessary to go through the Rashi, and we pick up Rashi from the top line. Miminhoga d'Halelo, we said there were great mitzvahs, halochas gedolos, Rashi said before, to learn from the custom we have regarding Halelo, which is Halel, mimash onu royim shenoigim achshov v'yomenu v'vote knesios, from that which we see nowadays taking place in the shuls. As will be explained, there was a custom of the congregation saying the word Halleluka twice and not more. And they would recite the entire Hallel together with the Makre, which is what we'll call the Chazan or the Cantor, until Hodu. The Oinin Hodu Achrov, and he would say Hodu, and they would repeat that. The Choisin V'Kur Imo Ad Ono, and they would read together with him until Ono Hashem Hoshiono. The Oinin Ono Hoshiono, the Ono Hatzlichono Achrov K'moshono Oisim, and at that point the cantor would say Ono Hashem Hoshiono, the congregation would respond Ono Hashem Hoshiono. And likewise with Hatzlichono, the cantor would say Ono Hashem Hatzlichono, and the congregation would repeat that. The Ein Zu Kekriyas HaRishonim She'onim Haleluka Al Kol Davar. What we just described is not like the original practice, where the cantor would recite a phrase, and they would answer on each phrase Halleluka, Kidamrino b'masnis endocho b'soita, as is stated in the Mishnah here and in Sota, in Maseches Sota. V'yoma Rava, miminhag shel achshav, Rava says from our practice, and again, when we say our practice, we're referring to in the time of the Gemara. There was an earlier practice that predated the Gemara, but that is what Rashi spoke about before, that on every phrase the congregation would listen and respond with Halleluka. In the time of the Gemara, that already wasn't practiced, but everyone would recite the bulk of the Hallel, with the exception of the latter part where we see these additional allusions to the to other halachas. So, we continue in the Rashi. V'yomar Rava miminhog shalachshav anu lemeide ma'u ikur kriyas ha'halel kishetiknuhu tchila. From our practices now, in the time of the Gemara, we can understand what the original takona was, what the original institution was. Lefi she'hakol chayav b'kriyas v'eino kol b'kiyin bo. Because there was a situation where we know everyone is obligated in the saying of Al, but not everyone was expert in reciting it. Tiknu, so it was established, Echot Kervachim Shomen, one would lead, the cantor would lead, and everyone would listen, Va'kol Oinin Mitzas, and everyone would answer a partial response. The Achshav, but nowadays, in the time of the Gemara, Shekol B'nei Kines Yosenu B'kiim V'korino Sokulo, that we're all now on a higher plane, we're all expert in reciting, we know how to read. V'afal P'kein Oinim Shtei Pomim Haleluka V'hodu L'Hashem V'ono. And even so, even though we know how to recite the whole Hallel from beginning to end, word for word, nevertheless, we retained some of the practices that would remind us of what once was. Mikan only yuchelim lumod ma tiknu harishayim lanos lemishein bekiem ula bekien. So from this we can learn what originally was established. So one should, what Rashi is certainly toiling with, a very important topic, is the awareness of an original halacha and a common practice that doesn't seem to conform to the original establishing of halacha. So Rashi's pointing out, very importantly, that the original establishment was not that that's the best way, the way it should be done, but given circumstances where people were not educated, there was a way to help that situation as well. But in a situation where everyone knows how to read it, so what was originally done is not necessary anymore. Because, as we said, we're just being a little repetitious right now, and that is the original takona was for what we call a bedievit situation. It was for a contingency situation, and that, with that in mind, we continue with the Rashi. Hu Omer Haleluka. This diamond corresponds to the first diamond in the Gemara text, where the cantor says Haleluka, the Hein Omrim Haleluka. And the congregation would respond likewise. Mikan, from here we learn, Shemitzvah lano is haleluka. Mimash anu noagim. From that which we have as a practice. Again, when we say we have as practice, it means in the time of the Gemara, there was a practice, anu noagim shamakra posech haleluka, anu shoskim. The cantor would say haleluka, the congregation would remain silent. The oinin achrov haleluka, v'hu shosek. And then after the cantor said just one word haleluka, he would remain silent, the congregation would respond haleluka. And after that, the cantor would say the continuation of the paragraph with everyone reading along with him. There was no need for us who are learned to rely on the cantor for the balance of the Hallel. So, but from this practice, we see from this practice, namely the opening cantor haleluka recitation, silence of the tzibur, and then the tzibur, the congregation's response of haleluka, mikan shemitzvah lanos haleluka b'psichosoi v'afilu b'kiyum. From here we learn, and this we didn't explain when we originally learned the Gemara, but this is the right explanation, is that there's a mitzvah to respond hallel at the opening. There was haleluka should be recited as a response at the opening of a hallel, even for people who are knowledgeable in the reading. Now, what does he mean, even for those who are knowledgeable? Because, in general, when we say you respond word for word, that's because the listener is not knowledgeable. Here, is the exception, and it's the opening word. The cantor says haleluka, and everyone says the same word. Because of the significance or the primacy of the opening of the Hallel. The next example. Hu Omer Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Vehem Omrim Halleluka. The cantor would say, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, and the congregation would respond with Halleluka, Mikan, Lemi Shegodol Makrosa, Shoyna Achrov Halleluka. From here, we see that when someone who is a male adult is reciting the Hallel, and someone is listening in order to be Yotze with his listening. So what is expected of the listener? It is that the listener, after every phrase that the reciter is saying, he responds with the word Halleluka. Mima sha nohagim achshav lanos oid Halleluka pam shnia. from the practice in the time of the Gemara, where the cantor would, after opening with his Hallelujah and the congregation responding, he would then say Hallelujah Avdei Hashem, which is the continuation of the opening of the Hallel text, and the tzibur would respond one more time Hallelujah. Just then, Ushahal Okurin Kulon Imoi, the rest of the Hallel, the congregation would recite along with the cantor. So Anu Lameidim Takono Rishona, we learn from here an original law. Mi she'eno boki, someone who is not expert, o boki v'eno gomro, elo somech al makre, someone who is himself expert but wants to rely on the reader, on the one who's reading for him, dayo lanas halleluka al kol dover v'dover. All he has to do is respond with the same word, halleluka, on everything that he is listening to. Ulefikach ichziku achshav minigazeh, and therefore nowadays in the time of the Gemara, they rely on this practice, lismoch ba'alu avdei Hashem al hamikra v'lanois halleluka, so that at that phrase, that opening phrase of the Hallel, the cantor. Now, we're just repeating what we said earlier. The cantor would open up with Hallelujah, then remain silent. The congregation would say Hallelujah. That was the significance of that opening word. Then the cantor would say Hallelujah Avdei Hashem. They, the tzibur, would not say that. They would listen to it, and they would respond with the word Hallelujah. They would soimach on the makra. The makra is the cantor who's reading. They would rely on him for that phrase. The lano is Hallelujah, and answer with the word Hallelujah. Ladas takana rishona, to know the original takana velo tishtakach, and not forget what originally was. Shemuter b'chol hallelusmoich ola velano is Hallelujah lemisheno boki. From here we learn that you can rely on someone reading for you the Hallel if you are not expert yourself in reading it, and respond if it's an adult. Not to be confused with the case of a woman or child, but if it's an adult that's reading it for you, after every phrase, you say Hallelujah. Hu omer hodu v'hein shoiskin v'achar kach oinin. Mikan Sheberoshe Prokim, Tsrichim Lanois Roshe Prokim Atzmon, with regard to the beginning of a perek, a chapter or a paragraph in the Hallel. It means if you open up an original in the Tanakh, you open up the Hallel, you'll see that it's made up of several Prokim, several chapters, so that at the opening of each paragraph or each chapter, it is a mitzvah upon the tzibur to respond with that as well. V'lo sagi lei b'halleluka. And it's not enough with regard to that, to the opening phrase of each chapter, to say halleluka, but you respond with the opening phrase as well. Omihu anan de gamrinun kule lo tzrichinon. We who are expert know how to read the entire Hallel, we don't need to do this for every opening paragraph. Elo shebozeh hechziku. However, with this exception, the Hodu section, we continue the original practice. Shelo tishtakach takona rishona lemi she'eno gomer, so that you don't forget the original takona for someone who doesn't read on his own. So in that case, the listener who is not going to be reading on his own will respond at the beginning of every chapter of the Hallel. He responds with that opening phrase as well, and not relying on the one word Hallelujah response, which he will rely on for the continuation of each of the rest of the Hallel of each chapter. Hu omer ono vehein omrim Acharav Ona. V'ein zeh meroshe prokim. This is not the beginning of a paragraph. Bozeh hichziku lios. This, by the way, in contrast to Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilom So, which is the beginning of a paragraph. Ono Hashem Hoshiono is not the beginning of a paragraph. So why then do they respond with that as well? Why the cantor says Ono Hashem Hoshiono and the congregation responds? So Bozeh Hechziku Lio Simen Leikir Takona. This is an allusion to the original law. Lemisha Soimech Alamakre, for someone who does rely on the cantor. There are occasions where the listener has to respond with everything word for word, that which the reader is saying. And when is that? When is that the expectation that you have to respond word for word? As is the case where a minor is reading for you. So if you're listening to a minor or a woman, then you have to respond word for word what they had said. Who Omer Ono Hashem Atzlichono, Vehein Shoimin, Viachakach Oinin, the congregation hears Ono Hashem Hatzlichono and they respond with the same words. Simin Ze, Hichziku, Ladas, Sharoitzilichbo, Sahalel Koifel, for this is to remind us of the approach that if you want to double those psukim, you can double them. Kamo sheze nichbal, just like this is repeated. Sharei shomea ka'ine kidele kamon. You're listening to the cantor say Ono Hashem Hatzlichona. Your listening is as if you said it, and then you say it again, and then you actually say it. So you have one saying by your listening, and then you double it by actually reciting. The Elu Shomin Vionin Hare Zukfila. The Chol Hani Mikan de Koma Rava. The word Mikan that we have in our Gemara, by the way, it's double underline. Each time Rava said that, Mikan Lakotan Hamakre, Mikan Shinbo Lichbo, Lav Dafke. It doesn't mean specifically those are the sources, meaning Ono Hashem in our Gemara, it said Ono Hashem Oshiono is repeated by the congregation for Koton Makre, and Ono Hashem Atzlichono is repeated in order to tell us that that could have been the other way around. Do I din nami motzi the meuf ipcha me Ono Hashem Oshiono shimbo lichpo Ono Atzlichono lekoton Makre. Elo Ashmiinen shelo alchinom hechziku elu shigomrim esahal anas tvorim halolo. What Rava's main point is to let us know that this practice is not a practice for naught, that these phrases are repeated. In order to remind us about the original laws as they were established by the prophets. These are very old practices dating back to the time of the prophets that were established for the Jewish people. Hu omer baruch haba v'hein omrim b'shem Hashem u'b'baruch haba soim chenolov v'ein oinin. For the opening phrase, the words baruch haba, the congregation relies on the cantor and they don't say those words. Lo hatevos atzmon, they don't say the words baruch haba, the lo haleluka, nor the haleluka response. Mikan, from this practice of mere listening to baruch haba without repeating and without a response of haleluka, we learn mikan nilmad l'sheinu yodea lo likros v'lanois. For someone who is in really bad shape, who doesn't know how to read nor how to even respond, im shoma v'kivei libo lishma, if he listened and intended to fulfill the mitzvah al pishelo ono yosa, even if he didn't say anything, he fulfills his obligation. V'chein l'misalim l'tzibor v'shil tzibor omer kedusha yeheshmei rabo. Likewise, someone who finds himself saying Shmona Esrei in a public setting, and the cantor in the repeat of the Shmona Esrei reaches the kedusha, or he is saying his Shmona Esrei, a private person is in a public setting, he's doing his private Shmona Esrei, and the congregation reaches the Kaddish where Yehei Shmei Rabo is recited. Yishtiku b'tfiloson, the person who is still involved with his private Shmona Esrei, his personal Shmona Esrei, shall at that point when the chazan reaches the kedusha or he reaches Yehi Shmei Rabbah, the person who's praying, his Shmon Esri, should remain silent at that point. Bishmu, b'kavona, v'hein v'arein ka'oinin. So these are the kedusha and Yehi Shmei Rabbah are very important phrases, so they should remain silent and listen with intent, and it's as if they're saying it themselves. Shimra kedusha, yachsu tefilasin. When the cantor finishes kedusha, he goes back to his own prayer. V'chein yisad Rav Yudoi Goin ba'alochas vilasin. Rav Yudoi Goin from the Goinic period, who was, he says this in his book, in his work called Halochas Gedolos. Let's now turn back to the Gemara text in the middle of the Omid. Bo minei me Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. The question was asked of Rabbi Chiya. Shama v'lo ona mahu. Someone who hears and doesn't respond. He just simply listens to what's being recited. What is the din? And we've learned this already, but here it's repeated. Omar lohu, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba responds. He opens with some, we'll call it rabbinic license. He says, Chachimaya v'safra v'reshiyamu v'darshaya omru. The sages, or the Chachimaya, the wise ones, Safraya, the Melamdei Tinokus, these are people involved with elementary Torah education, v'reshiyamu, the leaders of the people, and darshaya, those who lecture publicly, they all say, omru, they all say unanimously, Shoma v'loyono yotza. By the way, this section of Gemara is part of our long answer marking. You'll see it's all of this, this section revolves around this point about Shoma Valona, someone who listens and doesn't actually respond, but he listens with intent to fulfill the mitzvah. Yotza, he fulfills his obligation. Itmar Nami Yom Rishim and Pazi Yom Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora. It was said in the name of Bar Kapora. Minayin L'Shemea Ka'ina, from where do we know that listening is Ka'ina, as if he is reciting? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, and it takes a little while to develop the point, but the Pasuk is found in Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Beis, and in that Perek, a story is told of a Sefer Torah that was found and was presented to the king. The king at the time was King Yoshio, and there was a reading from the Torah, and that is what's used here to prove Shomea Koine. So what does it say in the Psukim? It says, Dichtif, Es kol divrei ha-sefer shekoro melech Yehuda. That's the Pasuk. When you read the chapter there, you ask the following question, V'chi Yoshio Koran? Did the king read the Psukim over there? V'halo Shafan. Shafan was a minister in the time of Yoshio HaMelech. Shafan, that's his name, Koran, he read the Psukim, Dichtiv, Vayikra'ehu, Shafan, Lifnei HaMelech. It says explicitly in Pasuk Yud that Shafan did the reading. So how can Pasuk Tezayin say that the king did the reading? Elomikan, we see from here, L'shomea Ka'ine, that if you listen, as the king did, he listened to Shafan's reading, Ka'ine, it's as if you read it. And that's why the Pasuk is giving credit to the king of Yehuda, as if he read it. The Gemara asks, V'dilma Boser de Koranu Shafan Koroshio. In Pasuk Yud, it says, Shafan read it. Maybe after Shafan read it, as is reported in Pasuk Yud, the king himself actually read the Psukim. And there is no allusion to someone's mere listening as if he has read. Well, Omar Ravacho Bar Yankiv, lo salkadaitach. No, you can't think that. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Yan rach levobcho vatikona mipnei Hashem b'shomacho. In Pasuk Yutes, the Pasuk says, referring to the king, that he humbled himself up through his listening. B'shomacho v'lo b'korachho. The emphasis and the inferences from the word b'shomacho, through your listening, indicating he listened only, listening without actual reading. So we see that the king only listened, and yet the Pasuk Tezayin considers it as if the king did read. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, is a new point, and we look at our topic heading. No say mivne, structural note on the side. Triangles will appear here, together with a double underline. The phrase lo lemo inish is highlighted. Rava you'll see in the triangle. Lo lemo inish, etc. A person should not say. And what do we mean? These are shnei dugmos betfila. We'll see two examples in the context of prayer. Shelo yafsik beemsa miras hapiska, that a person should not pause in the middle of certain phrases. Don't pause. Read the phrase straight through. Otherwise, the pause will cause a, let's say, misinterpretation or a misunderstanding of what is being said. And the two examples are one is in the Hallel, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, and the second example is Yehei Shmei Rabo Mivorach, that we have in the Kaddish. So Rava makes the point that it's important not to pause in the middle of these phrases. There are, by the way, other examples of where a pause could lead to a misinterpretation. Tosfos himself quotes some of those examples in the context of a question that he raises. But if you're interested, you can look at the bottom Tosfos for some more examples of this idea. So Omar Rava, reading now in the Gemara, Lo lemo inish baruch haba v'hodar b'shem Hashem. One should not pause in that phrase. Elo baruch haba b'shem Hashem behadodi. You should read it straight through, and that is in order that the blessing, we say Baruch Haba, the blessed be the one who comes in the name of Hashem, so that the B'Shem Hashem is connected with the phrase Baruch Haba. Now another example, we continue at the second line from the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Omar Rava, Lo Lemo Inish Yehei Shmei Rabo V'Hodar Mivorach, Elo Yehei Shmei Rabo Mivorach B'Hadodi. Rather say the whole phrase together. Again, because by pausing, you can create a misinterpretation. Omar Le Rav Safra. Rav Safra responds with a phrase here. Moshe Shapikrams. Moshe is a title, we will say, to a great man, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was a very great man. Rav Safra says to Rava, calling him Moshe, meaning great man, are you saying something that's accurate? In other words, there isn't a problem really if you pause in these examples. Ela hasam v'hacha, be it in the case of the Hallel, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, or the case of Yehei Shmei Rabo, there in the case of the Hallel, and here in the case of the Kiddusha, Asuke Milsehu. This, the person is going to, it plans to finish off the phrase, the less long ball, and it doesn't really bother us that he pauses. Since his intention is to say the whole phrase, the pause is not going to be the basis of misinterpretation. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you are interested in being in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.